morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Bill Hooten.
And we are here today to bring you more May tips. We weren't able to give you all of the May gardening tips last week, so we're here with part two of our May Tips show. But before we get to that, again, we want to tick off a few events on our calendar. The Sunday Growers Market at Mountain View Market Co-op in Las Cruces takes place every Sunday now through, I'm going to say, the late fall from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And the Mountain View Market Co-op will also be hosting this coming Monday a container gardening workshop. It's $8 if you're a member of the co-op, $10 if you're not a member, and you can learn more about container gardening, especially if you don't have a whole lot of space in your yard or if you live in an apartment and you want to take advantage of growing vegetables or flowering plants. That, again, is taking place Monday at 6 p.m. at the Mountain View Market Co-op. And then beginning on June the 1st at the Mountain View Market Co-op in Las Cruces, there will be a water harvesting and irrigation workshop. That's from 9 to 11 a.m. on June the 1st. There is a cost associated with this workshop, as there is with the container gardening workshop. And you can get information on these events by going to the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. They're also on our calendar of events page at ktep.org. And one thing that is starting up next weekend, the Artovinos Farmers Market at the Artovinos Desert Crossing in Sunland Park, New Mexico, it will kick off on Saturday, May 25th. That's next Saturday. Hours are 7 a.m. to 12 noon. And the Master Gardeners have a presence there.
Always. We have our information table where we have plenty of Master Gardeners to answer your questions. And every Saturday morning at 8:30, the Master Gardeners give a garden talk. So we're putting together a string of 20 topics to be presented throughout the entire farmers market season out there. So it's really exciting. So you have a calendar of events, you know when to go in and visit and sit down and listen to all these educational opportunities while you're shopping in between the different stations at the farmers market. This year, one interesting thing that they'll have at the information table early this year, we'll have garlic. So the Master Gardeners planted garlic in their little demonstration area, and they'll be able to take that and share that with the farmers market shoppers out there. So that's kind of exciting. So we'll have something at the booth earlier this season until we wait for the tomato crop to start coming in.
The famous tomato crop. That's right.
Well, hopefully the water restrictions haven't affected too much of the local produce because we do know we're in a drought and it's a little late. A lot of farmers are getting their water a little bit late this season. But there is going to be produce available. Like you said, the Master Gardeners are going to have garlic. And plant problems, people can go to you and ask you plant-related questions. They can bring you
samples.
Samples are really great if they can bring them in.
And, of course, the gardening talk. So right. It's a lot of people are looking forward to having this farmers market return to the region next Saturday at Artovinos Farmers Market. Well, guys, we need to get to some more May gardening tips. And one important thing that we didn't get a chance to talk about last week was fertilizer. And this is, I think, a question that the Master Gardeners receive quite frequently. When do I fertilize? How do I fertilize? How often and with what?
The first thing you need to know when you're fertilizing your plant is which plant are you going to try to fertilize? Fertilizing turf is very different than fertilizing your geranium in your container under your patio. So that's the first thing you want to know. The second thing is when you are out at the garden centers, you want to make sure that you look at all these aisles and aisles full of different products available. And I think the two major categories of that are your granular fertilizer that can be either slow release or it can be an immediate release on that. These granular fertilizers, you have to make aware that the slow release is going to break down over time. It takes a combination of moisture and temperatures to be able to release that fertilizer and make it available to the plant. So it's not going to be immediately where you're going to put a scoop into your container and
Instant gratification.
It is going to take a while. However, like Bill says, those slow-release fertilizers are much pricier than a regular granular fertilizer. I think one of the biggest hazards on the ready available fertilizers is the potential to burn your plants.
Absolutely. And ammonium sulfate's the or urea, it's just solid nitrogen, and you do run the risk. Whatever you're putting on, whether it's a turf or you're using it in a pot or a flower bed, just be sure and water it in really well when you apply it. And that eliminates or reduces the possibility of burning.
And your application rate can actually be modified with that by...
Right. We've adopted the theory of fertilizing more often, but at a lesser strength.
Right.
So, again, that keeps you out in front of your garden, lets you see it more often, and, again, reducing the risk of burning.
Right. And also the plants can only take up so much of that nutrient at one time.
Right.
So by reducing that concentrated strength, you're actually giving it only what it can take up at that time. So you can give it another boost.
Another boost 2 weeks later or mm-hmm. so, or 3 weeks later, whatever the program is that you're on. It's hard to find urea these days, but most of the pure nitrogen is ammonium sulfate that's available.
Right, exactly. And another category of fertilizer are the water-soluble fertilizers. And these are usually those blue crystals that you see that are sold in different types of formulations. I've seen them in big boxes and bags and even these small little single applications that you kind of, they're pre-measured and the directions say dissolve this in X number of gallons at one time. It's almost like a sports drink that you add to your bottled water. Yeah, no, it's true. So these are the water-soluble fertilizers, and those nutrients in there are immediately available to the plant. So it's in a liquid form. You dilute it per the directions, and that's really going to give you a boost on your fertilizing schedule.
And they're fun to use. I mean, it is a chemical. It is synthetically produced, but at the same time, you do see immediate results. Within 2 or 3 days, you can see an improvement to your plant. It'll green up. It'll grow a little bit faster. The slow release, again, is slow release, but it's you don't have to keep doing it. It reduces the labor aspect of fertilization.
Right, exactly. And I usually tend to not fertilize my plants very often. So when I do choose that, I like the boost because I know that the plants are starting to look hungry. So they know that they could benefit from having some fertilizer in there. So whatever it is that you choose, you want to make sure that you don't overapply because you're pretty much just throwing your money away because it's going to be leached away from the root system of the plant, and it's not going to do anybody any benefit. So
what do you know about, some of these home remedies, sort of the old wives' tale, if you pour beer in your plant, or I don't know, some people come up with the most unusual solutions for keeping your plant healthy.
Yes, exactly. And I think it's really, I actually heard the beer in the garden, but that's really to attract slugs.
Okay. You have to kill them, right?
Yeah. Because you attract them and then you drown them out.
Yeah, in the beer.
but I think a lot of people are moving towards using this compost tea where you're actually kind of using a broken down plant material and getting a concentrated liquid fertilizer. And that's commonly used a lot in maybe more sustainable farms and backyard growers that practice these type of things.
Right. At one of our last conferences in Sierra Vista, they had a gentleman that was an expert from the University of Minnesota talking about all those home remedies and whether they work and whether they don't and why do they work. It was very interesting talk. But again, you can overdo anything. Yeah. So just use your head. The internet, unfortunately, is a great source for a lot of that information these days.
A lot of misinformation, too.
A lot of misinformation, right.
A lot of organic fertilizers, too, are actually really low in nutrients.
Yes.
I think that's really the one thing people need to realize, too. If you want to go, quote, unquote, organic, you have to look at that label because it doesn't matter if it's an organic or a traditional synthetic fertilizer. You need to look at that NPK, those three numbers in the back
ratio,
of that label.
Right.
That's going to give you the ratio. That's going to give you what's available to that plant.
And if that natural fertilizer only has a 3% nitrogen, that's not very much. So you tend to overdo it by putting in more of that particular fertilizer.
What about people who maybe their neighbors might not enjoy it so much, but people who maybe fertilize with manure? And what purposes would you be wanting to do that?
Well, you want to make sure that that's a fully broken down material, and it should have an earthy smell to it, but it should not be foul in any case. If it's foul, that means it hasn't broken down and it's still, a waste product, and whatever is going to be in there is not going to be broken down enough to have those nutrients available to the plant. Also, you run the risk of having a salt burn if you apply fresh manure to your area, because they are going to, the cows eat salt. And that's going to be present in there as well. So just like you can get a fertilizer burn from a traditional bag synthetic. Or sack synthetic fertilizer, you can have the same results with the manure as well. Mm-hmm. So make sure that when you do go shopping for compost, look at it. It should have the consistency of soil and the smell. I mean, all of us have different you know, tolerances to foul smell. But, I mean, if it smells bad, it's going to smell bad.
And it's ammonia is what we're trying to avoid. The older, the more aged it is, the older it is, the better it is for your garden because it loses that ammonia element and it won't smell foul. And it's just as good for your yard.
Right, exactly. It does provide nutrients too, but also more importantly, the organic matter really helps the soil structure as well. So it helps it retain water if you live in a sandy soil.
So are you essentially looking at maybe the same components in a fertilizer for grass as you would for maybe a container plant or as you would for a tree or as you would for your vegetable garden? Are you kind of essentially looking for the same
formulations?
Yeah.
Well, for your grass, you want to make sure that you have higher nitrogen in there because nitrogen is going to be primarily what's going to help the plant stay green. If you have a container plant, a container flowering ornamentals, you want more of a balanced fertilizer because you don't just want to have nice green foliage. You want to promote the bloom growth as well. So the designations on the labels that say for fruits and vegetables, and that's why it's there because it's going to have that phosphorus and that potassium added on there.
So you may have quite a few bags of fertilizer in your garage.
You just might, really. You might have three or four different mixtures, right?
What's the longevity of those? I mean, I know a lot of us have in our garages or storage bins, you know, some really old bags of fertilizer. How long can you keep those around before you might want to decide on disposing of it properly, of course?
Right, exactly. And I think the best bet is to really buy what you need, share. And also, they usually kind of break down as far as how potent, because there is chemical processes going inside of the granular fertilizers. One thing that you do find in a lot of fertilizer is that it becomes hard as a rock.
Yeah,
starts absorbing.
It does.
Gonna chisel it away so you can start using it.
That's exactly right.
So it just starts absorbing that atmospheric water. So,
but ultimately, they should. Still
it should
be
still.
Effective.
It should still be effective, but you want to make sure that you break it down into a usable form as well. You just can't throw a big block of fertilizer in one area and not expect to see any adverse effects to that.
Well, if you have any other questions about fertilizing, of course, the Master Gardeners are always available to you at the Master Gardener Hotline to give you helpful information. And their number is 566-1276. Again, that's 566-1276. And there's an email link to the Master Gardeners as well on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org where you can send them your questions, especially if you have a photo of your plant problem. That's the best way to do it. Attach it to that email. Well, our complete list of May tips is also available on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. You can also listen to some of our past shows there as well. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And Bill Hooten.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.